Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
Our biosphere, in order to be sustainable, must maintain its biodiversity, because without it, the biomass could be seriously impacted. Businesses around the world are turning to biomimicry in their business models and integrating biofuels to achieve a balanced scorecard. Life these days has a lot of new meanings and definitions as well. It's all part of creating our future. Our look into the Presidio School of Management continues as we look at their online dictionary of sustainability. When your voice of the earth continues here on the Wildside News. Next time you're sitting across a table from some clean tech venture capitalists to pitch your new green technology in the hopes of getting a few million to get things going, you're going to need to understand the new language of doing green business. It's quickly becoming a fine art. We continue our exploration of the Presidio School of Management and talk with a grad student who, collaborating with his fellow students, created the first of its kind Dictionary of Sustainability. It's a new online resource that will bring you up to speed in new clean technology languaging that will drive us efficiently and safely onward into the wonder. The history of this emerging melding of nature and resources and business and the corporatocracy, it's been probably about 30 years in the making. Kind of started out with the concept of eco. Everything was eco. Then it kind of morphed into green. And now it seems as if green is actually morphing into a new term, which is sustainable or sustainability. These terms keep changing all the time. It can be a little confusing and it can be hard to keep up. Our guest today, Nathan Shedroth, he's a graduate student at the Presidio School of Management in San Francisco. Nathan, welcome to the Wildside News.
Thank you.
Well, Nathan, first of all, let's talk about what is it that you've created.
I've helped to create, I and some fellow students at the Presidio School of Management have created a dictionary of sustainable management, which means an open, evolving dictionary of terminology around the sustainability field and industry where it intersects with business.
From your perspective, what's the beginning of a definition for sustainability?
Well, this is one of the reasons why we created the dictionary, is because in our studies, of course, we found different people within in our school and different people, of course, outside in the industries all have different terms and definitions for even a simple word, an important word like sustainability. And that's just the beginning. Every term that's used in the business world and the sustainability field means different things to different people. And so we thought it would be helpful to put a stake in the ground and say, let's start here and agree to how we might talk about these things so that we can have conversations with each other.
Now, there's many different realms, but one of them would be a person who has no idea what sustainability is all about, and then there are those people in the field where it may mean something entirely different. If you were to try to talk to the person who has no idea, I mean, they're just really cold on this. Maybe they're 62 years old, and they finally come across this term and say, gee, what is this sustainability thing I keep hearing about? How could you help them understand what that means?
I think that the first sentence in the dictionary on the homepage now is a really good rendition of exactly what that means. And it says, development that meets the needs of the present without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their own needs. I don't think it can reduce or be much more clear than that. Of course, you can unpack these terms and outcome lots of really interesting concepts. For instance, the first word, development, is any kind of development, whether it's financial development or natural development or human development, etc. That's probably the most important term because everything flows from that idea.
In other words, when you say development, you mean really advancing on the current state of the art.
Right, exactly. Developing value, developing assets, developing happiness, it really doesn't matter. It's whatever you're developing, making sure that your process of developing it isn't compromising other people's processes in the future of also developing it. To me, the most important word in the dictionary is sustainability because that's where all the other definitions flow from.
This dictionary is available as a project. You've actually put this online, and I'll have a link on this on today's show page, but it is at www.sustainabilitydictionary.com. It's an interactive dictionary, and this architecture of information is actually something that you've been focused on much of your professional life. Why don't you help us better understand the concept of information architecture so they understand why you've done this?
Sure. The whole point of information design or information architecture is about making the complex clear without necessarily simplifying it, because when you simplify it, you actually take value and valuable information away. So you can think of it as transforming data into information. We encounter lots of data in our lives, and unfortunately in our culture we use the terms data and information pretty much synonymously, and this is a misnomer. Information isn't information unless it's truly informing you of something, which means that it has to be set into some sort of context. So information design or information architecture mainly attempts to create context so data becomes information and things become clear as opposed to simple.
Mm-hmm. Interesting point. That's a good point. Simplifying, we may lose critical information. That's one of the things that I try to do on the Wild Side News. The concept of nature and the environment is so broad that I think we have to cover all of the various aspects of nature and the environment to really, really try to define what that is and to get to develop a conscious grasp of its complexity, because it is very complex. And it's
sure, and most people, although there are times when simplicity is called for and desired, most people don't want to live a simple life. If you truly lived a simple life with only a few things happening in your life, you'd be bored. What you want to live is a clear life. You want life of wonderful complexity in your life. You just want to be able to deal with it mm-hmm. appropriately and clearly. Mm-hmm. And the same goes for media.
Well, now, also, this is a special project of the Presidio School of Management, where you're a student, you're going to be graduating. This has particular relevance. I'm wondering if perhaps your involvement with the Presidio School of Management helped to inspire this particular project, the Dictionary of Sustainable Management. Give us an overview of the Presidio School and why this project works so well with their mission.
Well, I'll be graduating in about 8 weeks, actually. So I've been at the Presidio School for 2 years, and it's really a wonderful place that is evolving a degree program for how to teach business people how to understand, not only understand sustainability, but how to put it into practice in their businesses. This is, I think, one of the only programs in the country, certainly. And I went there specifically because this is how I think the future of business will be. And so if I'm going to go get a business degree, I'm more interested in getting one oriented toward the future than one oriented to how things have been done in the past. The dictionary came out of frustration, to be frank, with encountering different definitions from different people about some of the same terms. Also implicit in the approach at Presidio School of Management, as well as the dictionary, are lots of common business terms that take on new meaning in a sustainable context. So you'll find terms in here like different types of assets, for instance, or different measures like liquidity, and they take on new meaning in addition to their traditional business meaning once you apply sustainability to them.
Can you give us some examples of words that are becoming enriched with new meaning in terms of sustainability?
Yeah, I can. For instance, opportunity cost of capital is a very traditional business and accounting term, and certainly a finance term, and a way of analyzing either current or proposed business activities. So the definition, the traditional definition, goes something like this: the expected return from investments missed in favor of other investments. And then in detail, you know, opportunity cost of capital is calculated by comparing various investment alternatives, their capital costs, and the value they may return, et cetera. Mm-hmm. How that takes on new meaning in the world of sustainability might be that some components are not traditionally calculated in opportunity cost of capital, OCC, but perhaps should be. These include the cost of an investment to the environment, to the company's reputation, and to the social fabric of an organization's community. OCC is used as a component of deriving WACC, which is also called internal rate of return, WACC being weighted average cost of capital, which is yet another traditional finance or accounting term.
Mm-hmm. And quite honestly, if you're going to play in this game, that is to say the corporate finance, investment, venture capital, you really do have to step up to the table with a familiarity with these terms, or you look like you're, you know, walking out of the woods a little too much.
That's exactly right, and that's the point of the whole program. In fact, the curious thing in being in this program is learning about parts of business that even most business people don't think about very often or don't understand. For instance, the history of a corporation and what its original purpose was. It's so far away from how corporations are viewed commonly today that I think most business people would be really surprised by its history. So there's lots of terms like that that have evolved over time. One of the things we made explicit in our plans for the dictionary was to take a sustainable view of these words and their definitions. So the dictionary is designed to evolve over time. It's also open so that people can come in and add their own comments, challenge definitions, add to them, add new terms, etc., and then periodically we'll sweep through, probably bring some clarity back to the dictionary and publish it as a new edition.
Kind of like a Wikipedia.
Exactly.
Which is a powerful, powerful concept.
The big difference between us and a Wikipedia is that we have maintained authoritative or editorial control over the dictionary. Mm-hmm. So whereas anyone can make and post comment, it doesn't get into the definition unless we think that it really deserves to. And again, periodically we'll be changing all of the definitions in an edition and bring them all up to date and summarize all the conversation around these terms.
In traditional business, the bottom line is always profit and survival. I find there's a different sort of color to the bottom line that comes from sustainable management practices, which has to do with a living bottom line.
Sure.
Just curious what your thoughts are about that.
Well, you could probably restate that also as a sustainable bottom line. There's a lot of talk in the corporate social responsibility world, in the sustainability world, about triple bottom lines, for instance, that measure not just your financial bottom line, but your human people bottom line, as well as ecological or nature-oriented bottom line. The newest term yet, in fact, is called integrated bottom line, because the thinking is, yeah, you can have these three bottom lines, but if they're separated, they don't relate to each other, and it's easy to ignore the other two.
Mm-hmm.
The whole point is that a lot of traditional business doesn't recognize a lot of valuable activity. And so, A, it can cause problems in society because there are things called market externalities where benefits aren't necessarily reaped fully with the inclusion of all the effects or costs associated with creation of capital or doing business. And secondly, opportunities are left on the table because they're not identified, because they're not traditionally part of what business people look at.
Now, who would you suggest should use the dictionary of sustainable management?
Well, we have some explicit people and groups that we've identified it, you know, or built the dictionary for. These include business people of all types all around the world and business students, again, of all types and persuasions. But you know, the dictionary has a great deal of value to anyone that wants to enter into the sustainability discussion or conversation, or anyone that I think is oriented to doing business with business in the future. So this could include people at government agencies, international NGOs. It can include anyone in the quote-unquote green or sustainable or low-cost industries. And it can obviously be used by individuals that are curious about some of these terms and some of what's going on.
You really do have to know about these terms. For example, a very powerful concept that's happening in the clean tech realm is the phrase renewable portfolio standards. Now, if you don't know what that means, you're going to be at a terrific loss when people start talking about that. And quite honestly, the concept is extremely important to be aware of because it defines a market. There's a great opportunity right now for people to profit from good, sustainable technologies. And quite honestly, that is the best future for us on the planet here, and it's what sustainable management is all about.
It's also what business is all about, is seeing future trends early, getting in at the ground level, and riding the wave up. So it's not unlike, you know, sustainable technologies, clean energies, all of these approaches are not unlike biotech, high-tech computers, railroads, you know, every other development and trend in its day at its beginning. And these are terms that are entering popular lexicon now. So pretty much everyone in the United States, if not the world, or certainly the Western world, is familiar with hearing the term global warming, for instance, or probably its better cousin, climate change. But most people don't really understand what it means. I encountered someone just about 5 weeks ago when we had a cold spell here in the Bay Area who said, you know, so much for global warming, it's actually getting colder. Well, the whole point of global warming and why it's maybe not the best term is that climate is changing differently in different kinds of environments. Cold places might be getting warmer, warm places might be getting colder. And the term global warming makes that difficult to understand. A better term might be climate change, because it's more accurate and doesn't have some of those peculiarities. A term I really like in the dictionary, and one that's quite unusual, is global weirding. And this, in some ways, is more accurate than global warming because it doesn't have the disinforming nature, and it describes what's really happening with climate change. This is a term that was coined by Paul Hawken.
I love that, actually, because that is what we are. It's the unknowables that are the challenge right now. It isn't a trend in this way or that way. It's unique changes in any particular environment that may be very, very localized. And again, there's opportunities there. And I say it's not all about making money, but it also is about making money and making a living. And I've been an advocate for a long time that the sooner that we can make our livings from doing good work, the better.
Exactly.
It's a great term. Perfect. Now, if you had some other favorite terms, the ones that you think that people would enjoy or that they just simply should know, kind of the bottom line, give us a couple of examples.
Other than the term sustainability, which is where I think people should probably start, I think there's some other really important terms that tend to be keystones for a lot of the other terms throughout the dictionary. For one, would be corporation. What is a corporation, and how does it differ from other forms of organization? It's a pretty simple business one that most people think they know, but people don't often take the time to elaborate.
Can you give us a concept in, let's say, three or four sentences that would help us understand the meaning that you're
Well, one of the interesting things about a corporation is that originally in the United States, at least, corporations were created specifically to serve social purposes. They weren't created to serve their own purposes. And they were created to create social goods that couldn't be done with smaller forms of organization. That seems pretty foreign to a lot of people these days with where corporations have evolved from. And corporations have built mechanisms, like legal mechanisms, where they can dispose of any responsibility to the social well-being of their of society or their community simply by focusing on profit. And I think that goes against the intended purpose of corporations way back when they were first established. Another really great term that I think people should understand is a set of terms around capital. What is capital, and what are the different forms of capital? And some of the most important forms are how financial capital, natural capital, manufactured capital, and human capital interact. There's actually some other forms as well, but those are sort of the four main ones, and they come out of Hunter and Amory Lovins and Paul Hawkins' book, Natural Capital. And it's this interplay between these four types of capital that really change everything. And the acknowledgement of them really changes your outlook on what sustainability is and what business can be.
It was the beginning of the paradigm shift into some of these new realities.
Exactly right. Mm-hmm. Another interesting term in the dictionary that I think is important for people to understand in order to understand this sustainable or sustainability perspective is GPI, or Genuine Progress Indicator. And what this is a new measurement for measuring how well the economy is doing that adds back in the things that the GDP or the GNP don't. Part of the problem in business is that we adhere to the GDP or the GNP as if it were a biblical standard, and this is the only way to measure progress. And the problem with both the GDP and the GNP is they don't measure lots of things that affect our life. The GPI is just one new measurement that adds back in the effects of pollution, for instance, or crime or family breakdown or social unrest or the loss of middle class, so that we can get a more accurate picture of the progress that we think we have. And the results aren't good, but they help explain the frustration that people, in at least in the United States, feel for how hard it is to make ends meet these days, even with two working parents in well-defined or middle-class jobs, and still don't feel like they can get ahead. If you look at the GDP, there's no reason for that feeling. If you look at the GPI, there is. This is just one example of how new measures give us new perspective of what's already happening in our lives.
And at this point, the trend line on the GPI is?
Well, if you look at the GDP from 1950 to present, it's roughly triple of what it was, which looks like everything's going great. If you look at the GPI from the 1950s to present, it's roughly half of what it was in the 50s, which pretty much jives with the fact that in the 1950s it was most common. In fact, it was very rare to have two working parents, and you could still raise a family and send them to college and go on a vacation every now and then. Today, of course, two working parents are having a tremendous time buying a house, raising kids, sending them to college, now with double the income. So it starts to explain the phenomena that we feel today.
We're talking with Nathan Shedroff, who has come up with an online dictionary of sustainable management. Nathan, give that website again.
Sure. The web address is fairly simple. It's sustainabilitydictionary.com. And I'd just like to say that I certainly didn't do this alone. I had a lot of help from four main students who are graduating with me in the program at Presidio School of Management, and they are Bob Gower, Ruth Katz, Karina Besner, and Nick Astor, who really programmed the website and is our web magician. This project wouldn't have happened without the help and support of any of those people, and then, of course, the faculty and the administration at Presidio as well. At one point, the creation of and adding of new definitions to the dictionary was a school project or a class project in one of our classes this past January, actually, 2006. And so there's a huge list of students who contributed to the dictionary that I don't have time to go into, but they're all on the credits page in the dictionary itself.
I certainly want to encourage my listeners to just go and peruse through some at any point, because it opens up ways of thinking that, quite honestly, unless you're exposed to it, you really can't think about, because they're whole new ways of thinking. So just by going through and picking out a D, you can access each letter and the terms are related to A, B, C, D, E, F, G by going to that, pretty common on the web. But just go through and start to look at the words and start to read the definitions, and all of a sudden you start going, wow, that's interesting. It's actually very fascinating, very educational, very useful, and it gets us prepared for a future, and that's what I want to talk about next, because this is your future, and you're betting your career in manifesting sustainable business practices. Tell me what your thoughts are, yourself, your peers, about the future of planet Earth here, particularly as it relates to us creating a world that is sustainable.
Well, I'm a designer by training, so by nature I'm automatically an optimist. I do think that we'll be able to create positive change. I think it's too easy to dwell on how bad things actually are behind the scenes and in ways that are often invisible to most people. And certainly a lot of damage has been done and a lot of things need to be corrected. But I do think that there's a lot of change already happening. I think there's a lot of fear around how society runs and how business works these days on all sides. And fear, for the most part, creates, in my opinion, a barrier to change. That said, I do see a lot of change happening, and I do think this is the future of business and hopefully the future of society. Not that everyone's going to be, you know, hippy-dippy and eating vegetarian. That's not what sustainability is about. It's not necessarily a lifestyle. It's the inclusion and development of processes that ensure that our way of life, you know, and making a better life isn't endangering the ability for our children and our children's children's children to have a better life as well. And it involves a big perspective change that once people make, I think they have, they, what I've seen is that when people start understanding the ideas around sustainability, they lose a lot of their fear. They become hopeful about change and not fearful about what it might mean in their lives. And they feel like they have a set of tools and a perspective to view the future in a positive way.
You know, I so much appreciate what you're saying, and I think that's extremely important. Because there's a lot of people right now who are living under a shroud of victimization, and that things are out of control, and that certainly is the way it can be and is for a lot of people. But those of us who have an addiction to creativity, I believe that if we just start to realize that it's up to us, that we can create our way out of this, that we can create a better future, and that quite honestly, not only will it work, but that it can be exciting and fun and profitable, it creates a whole new opening to a beautiful vision of our future. I'm totally committed to that.
Yeah, I agree. And in terms of business, this perspective shift allows you to see opportunity where there doesn't look like there's opportunity currently. And I think there's a tremendous amount of upside and opportunity out there. And this is the lens that allows you to see it. It's like secret decoder glasses.
The future economy of the United States, and then as well the globalizing world here, is in the sustainable realms. It's obvious. Oil is running out. Various natural resources are disappearing. And we just have to find ways around that. And it's an exciting time in reality. Nathan Shedrup, I want to thank you for adding your voice to the Wild Side News.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Victims of an out-of-control world? Not for me. It's up to you. Together, we will craft the business of a better world, or we will not. Next week, we celebrate our third Earth Day when your Voice of the Earth returns, each Thursday or any time on the archives. This is Sidney Wildsmith saying adios until we meet again here on the Wild Side News.